this afternoon, excuse me, to the park. And like, this is one of the first times that our daughter, she's 1.5, that was walking on uneven
ground. Ooh, now I'm echoing. Hello. Still really loud. Goodness. Okay. So uneven ground, and she was a little wobbly, and she fell over. She got dirt on her hands, and she screamed as loud as she possibly could. So she's a little princess. So that's what we learned today from that, the poor little thing. But she was fine. She didn't even have a cut or anything. We thought, you know, oh my goodness, she hurt herself. Nope, just dirt. So, but she's cute, so we'll keep her around, I guess. So before we get started this evening, let's just give our time to the Lord. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this place that we're able to meet and just look into your word together. God, again, I just ask that you would use me this evening as we talk about some things from your word, and I just ask that you would direct my thoughts and just open our hearts to what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Last evening, we were at Nancy Parrington's for dinner because it was Mike's birthday party. It wasn't his birthday, but it was his birthday party. So we were celebrating there. And every year we go, and just a little background story. About 6 years ago, I think, probably, Bethany and I went for the first time. We went to KLBC together. It was our first time at the Parrington's. And my wife being who she is, she puts her feet on people's coffee tables, and I cannot do that as a person. I don't know if people put their feet on the coffee tables or not, so I just, if I'm in somebody's house, I never do it, just in case. And anyway, she puts her feet on the coffee table. We're not married. We were married at this time. We didn't even really like each other at this point, to be honest. So we've known each other for a long time. We went to camp together. We went to KLBC together, back around story, right? Didn't really like her through all of this. Anyway, we were at the Parrington. She put her feet on the coffee table. Hate that. I called her a jerk because you can't do that in somebody else's house. Maybe don't, like, record that part. And I tickled her feet, and I said, you know, don't do that. Like, get them off. That's so rude. And that's the day that I realized that I'm in love with her, and I need to marry her, and... because she was not very happy with me, and I was like, if somebody can yell at me, then I think that we're meant to be together forever. And I think, what a funny way to fall in love with someone, but I think that is an interesting picture of our sinfulness, and yet a God of love and perfection fell in love with us. And he not only fell in love with us, but he, like, always loved us. And he caused us to fall in love with him. And I think that that is amazing. And I think that, as silly as our story of love is, I think that is an interesting picture of that truth, that our God loves us. I was, this morning, actually, it's kind of funny, I told Nancy yesterday that I was going to preach on 1 Peter, and then I didn't. Right? Because I told you, like, you know, I prepared a couple different sermons just in case. And I didn't end up preaching on 1 Peter. And then I ended up preaching on Daniel. And then tonight I said, oh, Bethany, I'll just do my 1 Peter sermon. And then I'm not. So I apologize for that I can't make up my mind. But I just feel like the Lord has put something else on my heart this evening. So bear with me as I preach to you this evening. But I was thinking of God's love this afternoon as I was watching my little daughter toddle around the park. And I love that little human. Like, oh, she stole my heart. And I think our God stole our hearts. And I think that is amazing. It's amazing. And it is Earth Day, which, I mean, just another little tidbit of my life here. I was the Recycler of the Year Award for 3 years in school. So I'm just saying, I like the Earth a lot, too. And it's a pretty amazing place, because, I mean, it's one of the only planet that can hold life. That's part of God's great design and his love for us, too, that he made a place that we can even live and survive. So that's pretty amazing. But anyway, I even opened to 1 Peter. That's kind of funny. Anyway, so if you want to turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, the chapter of love. of course, how stereotypical. I'm going to talk about love and I'm going to 1 John 4, but it's a great little passage. And we're just going to start in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves, he has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, and if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. That passage in and of itself is really just quite self-explanatory, isn't it? God is love, and if he is love and we love, then we must be of God, and God, you know, like it pretty much explains itself as you keep reading. And I love when scripture explains itself. It just makes it a lot easier and just makes it easy, right? But there's a lot of awesome, awesome little sentences in these three little verses, four little verses. Oh, five. I'm not good at math. Sorry. I have a friend who's going for a master's degree in mathematics. I said, you need to tutor me because I can't even, like, know how many fingers I have anyway. So math is not my strong suit. Anyway, so let's just start in verse 7 here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. You could just like preach a whole sermon on just that one sentence. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. We are challenged right there from John to love each other. And then that can be difficult. I know I've shared my testimony here before, and I know, but while in the midst of all of my struggles, some people came to me, and some people really helped me, and others didn't really help me. and some of them really hurt me, and it was very hard to forgive them, and it was very hard to show them love in the midst of that. Because despite the fact that I know that they were out of love doing what they were doing, it didn't feel like that. And it was a great trial to get over, more so than the actual sin itself was, I think, of coming to the point of forgiveness. Because when somebody hurts you, hurts your pride, hurts your dignity, hurts your person, the very person that you are, when somebody hurts you like that, it is very, and I'm sure everybody's experienced that to some extent, it's very hard to get over that. It's very hard to overcome that judgment that you feel and that persecution that you feel from them. So it's very difficult to get over that. But the scriptures are very clear that you're still supposed to love that person. You're supposed to show them love. And that it can be challenging. But it's not like, if you feel like showing them love, go ahead and do that, is it? No, beloved, love one another, for love is from God. And if you just even think for a minute of what we have done against God, and he still loves us. Thank you, Jesus, for being so gracious to us, because that is not, we are not fair to him, and yet he still loves us. So who are we to hold a grudge against someone else, right? Who are we to do that? And it goes on, that same verse. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Amazing. Oh, you can think of John 3, one of my favorite stories. I say that every time. One of my favorite stories, though, Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night, sitting under that tree, and saying, like, what is going on here? Like, who are you and what are you doing here? Like, these people say this and this person says this. Who are you? How do I get to heaven? What is going on? And he says, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amazing. You have to be born again. Can you just imagine poor Nicodemus in that moment? Like, what do you mean born again? And he even says that, right? How am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? It's impossible. And then Jesus explains that, right? He said it's not of like flesh, it's of the spirit, right? You're being born again through the love of God because of what I'm going to accomplish at that point, what Jesus was going to accomplish on the cross and his resurrection. And that is amazing. We are born of God. I can't think of the passage off the top of my head, but there's a passage that talks about being, oh, it's in 1 John 2, I think. Anyway, I can think of the hymn, Behold What Manner of Love the Father Has Been. 1 John 3, thank you. 1 John 3, Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Amazing. Amazing. We are sons of God, we are co-heirs with him, and that is amazing because of his love for us, for his grace. I just spit everywhere. For his grace, that's why nobody sits in the front row. Spit everywhere, I'm sorry. But his love for us, that we were born of him. And actually, let's just think about that for one more second. And we know God, right? And like that last little part, born of God and knows God. What a privilege we have to know God, right? There's so many people lost in this world who just don't know what's going on. They're just lost. And I bet they somewhat feel forgotten, some people. They just don't know the love of our great God. But we have the privilege as believers to know him on a personal level. And that is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I was reading because one of my four sermons that I prepared was Habakkuk, and I was reading it over, and I was, it talks about Habakkuk 2, about waiting on the Lord, because his promises will be fulfilled eventually. And sometimes our patience wears thin with that, but part of Habakkuk, the part that I'm trying to make here, is that Habakkuk was like, so God, what is going on? And God, when is that going to happen? And God, what is happening? He's like kind of putting him on trial here, right? Like, what is going on, God? What's happening? Why aren't you answering my questions now? Why isn't this happening now? And that's kind of neat that we can do that. I mean, that was maybe not the best way of going about it because that's kind of the creator of the world that you're talking to, right? So like, maybe you should have a little bit more respect than that. But I mean, that's a great man and we made it into the scriptures, so obviously there's some truth to that. And we can talk to God and we can say, now God, I'm going through some stuff here. You know, I need your help and I need your timing and I need your patience and your grace and your love. We can talk to him like that. And we can even ask him, what are you doing? What are you doing? What is your plan? We have that ability to do that because we know God. And that is a amazing, just an amazing thought that we can know him. And then the next verse, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. Interesting. I mean, there again, like as I was talking about a little earlier, there's definitely times in my life that, you know, I just really do not love that person. And I was sharing this morning how I work at Tim Hortons, for those who don't know. I feel like most people know that already. But we don't like head office. Head office is not our friend, right? They come, they destroy our life, and then they leave, and then they come back and do it all over again. So it's very hard to like that person. And especially when they don't make an appointment and they just show up on a Saturday and you're like, oh, don't come on a Saturday. But, you know, the point is that even though I, as a person, I struggle to like that person. He's actually a very nice man. He's He's a very religious man, actually. He's a very Catholic man. And he's very, like, he's very devoted, and he's a very nice man, and very genuine. And so I try to show love, you know, when he's not yelling at me. You know, I try. And I mean, it's important, though, for us. Oh, I keep spitting. I'm so sorry. It is important, though, that we should do that. There's people in this world, and you can see it, and you can see it in history, especially in history. I was reading church history book yesterday. I went to Tilly's. I shouldn't go there. But I go and I look for books, and it's because it's four, buy four, get one free, right? So I have found these four gray commentaries, and then I had to pick another book. So I picked a church history book. Love that book. That's my favorite one now. Anyway, so I was reading this church history book, and I was just reading about the persecution of the church. That's the point I was making. I'm sorry, I go on tangents. But the church is, like, the history of the church is quite sad sometimes. You read it, and you go, oh, that's probably shouldn't have happened. If we loved one another like we're supposed to, that probably wouldn't have happened. I mean, God used it for good, because he says that his word will never return to him void, which thank God for that. Because what we have done, not necessarily good. But God made it good, and that's very important. But the point, again, is that there's definitely people in the world who just do not love. You can even think of Hitler and that whole situation in World War II. He did not love people very well, did he? Certain people he did not love very well. And it caused a lot of drama, for the lack of a better word at the moment. It caused a lot of grief and a lot of sadness in this world. And all because he just did not love. I think love is important because God is love. When we were in KLBC, we had the opportunity of going on a practicum. So we went to Toronto, and we got to see the different places of different places of worship of different people groups. One was the Hindu temple. Very fascinating place. Very scary place, though. When we were there, there was a group of people participating in a yoga ritual. And so they're kind of opening themselves up to a whole lot of demonic fun. And we went from, you know, like doing a normal exercise thingy to this person screaming and crying and seemed like pain. It was just terrifying, and you could just tell it was not of this world. It was scary, and it was full of, it made us all very uncomfortable, let's say that, as we were walking around the temple, and you kind of wanted to leave right then, but you know, you're trying to get the experience of what's going on in the world. Well, that was one of them. And I just think their religion is about peace and love and fulfillment. And then you see that. And that's not peace. And that's not love. And that's not fulfillment. That's the complete opposite. And I just think how terrifying that is. But isn't it great, to think that our God, the God who we serve, is a God of love and a God of peace and a God of fulfillment. Our God is all of those things, plus many, many more. And no book could contain the amount of love. Even the scriptures, although it explains so much of his love, I think there's so much more that our brains cannot comprehend. That scripture is so full of it, of love, and full of information that we can't even soak it up. We can't even begin to understand the fullness of our God. And I can't wait till we get to glory so we can get to know him a little bit better. And then it goes on. This is one of my favorite verses. In this is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. And then the famous verse is right after. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that he sent his only son into the world. I just wonder, on Earth Day, if God looks down, I mean, we've kind of made this day up, but if he looks down on this earth, especially on this day that we declared that this is the day that we will take care of the earth, if he looks down and thinks, oh my, you poor, poor people, this is not what I have made. If you would have just kept it perfect, I wonder if he thinks that way. I can't imagine. I can't imagine the Son of God coming down. Maybe that's why he didn't come in the 21st century, because it is just insane. I was reading an article about the pollution of the ocean and how much plastic is taken out of that daily. Makes me not want to use plastic anymore. Like, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. We have done that. But the love of God was manifested to us because he loved us, right? Because he manifested it by sending his son here. And he sent him in the very perfect time. If you read some church history there, like, he sent him in a very perfect time because of all of the cultural things that were happening there. And it was just the perfect time. And he died probably one of the worst historical deaths that you could possibly do, in the sense of agony and pain and shame and disgrace that came along with the death that he had. But he did that for us. For us. The people who, I don't know, we're just sinful, purposely sometimes despite him, even like maybe not purposely, but we do it every day anyway, whether we know it or not. We sin, we think, oh, I don't like that person. Well, that's not really loving one another, is it? Or like littering even by mistake, right? Like, that's still, it's still not what we should be doing, which equals sin, right? And I think that's kind of depressing. But that's how much our God loves us, that he would send his son here and manifest that. He wanted to show us how much he loved us by doing that. That is just amazing. Because, I mean, in all fairness, although his plan is perfect, right? His plan is, I'm not trying to say anything wrong here. I'm just trying to explain the thought. But his plan was absolutely perfect. But could he not have just said, I'm going to save that person, I'm just going to bring them to heaven? Couldn't he have done that? Of course he could, because he's God. But he didn't. He didn't. He had a plan of love, and he had a plan from the very beginning to bring his people that he created back to the glory in which they were supposed to be in the first place. And that is love. That is love. And that is how our sin is gone from us, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Easy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Amazing. I think, it's just amazing. Every time I read the verse 10, there's it's a little story. There was this group, we had memory verse at Hope Valley, right? And we try to get the kids to memorize it in a fun way. Well, one time this verse was up, and a couple of leaders wrote a song. It was a hip-hop song. They wrote four different versions of it. There was a country song for it. There was a hip-hop one. There was a rock song. And anyway, they sang it in four different ways, and they had a concert, flashing lights, smoke, everything. It was just quite the production. But every time I read that verse, I want to sing it now. So I just thought and I mean, there's a song that actually goes along with it. Oh, I can't sing it. Oh, dear. They would all be deaf, I think. So, or wishing you were, anyway. But anyway, every time I read it, I just think of that song. And I think of that song, how many people that heard that song get to think of that song, like that verse then. Because that really stuck with me forever. Like, that was my first year. And I'm not going to tell you. Well, I guess I could. I'm not that old. It was like 10 years ago. So, when I was 16. But now I told you how old I am, so there we go. But it's okay. I'm just kidding. Anyway, just keep going. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Oh, there's the sentence again. So it must be important, right? If he says it once, it's important. If he says it again, you better start listening, right? Somebody said that once. I don't know. I stole it from someone. But it's true. If he says it once, it's important. If he says it more than once, you better start listening because it's very important. And like that's only in one passage that he said it twice. So if you put all the things, you love one another, the golden rules, then like there's a lot of times that that's said, love one another. I think it's pretty important. No one has ever seen God. If we love God, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Don't you want to be perfected by God? Isn't that something that we all long for? That's something that we should all long for, is the perfection that we will obtain in glory. Isn't that great? I'm looking forward to it. I mean, this is my 10th anniversary of being diagnosed with Crohn's. And oh my goodness, that disease can be pretty good and then boom, with no warning. And it can be just not a fun time. And I think I can't wait until I can kiss that disease goodbye because I honestly am done with it. So I have hopefully a long ways to go with it, but we'll see. But isn't that, it's just exciting to look forward to the perfection of God. But that's not exactly what this verse is saying, so maybe we should get back on track. So no one has ever seen God. You know, that's interesting, because remember Moses, he walked up to the mountain, Mount Sinai, he went up there, and do you remember what happened to him? He looked upon just a glimpse of God, and you know what? He fell over. Now God, like, restored him because, but, oh my goodness, he, in his perfection, he's perfect. I just think of Isaiah 2, Isaiah as well, I should say, not Isaiah 2 specifically, it's Isaiah 6, but the call of Isaiah, he got just a little glimpse of God's glory. With the cherubim and seraphim, and just a little glimpse of God's glory there, and he fell over. He fell over. And there's many times that it says that in Scripture, that when somebody, like, just even a shadow of God goes by, they fall over. We cannot look upon him and live because of his amazing perfection, because he is holy and full of love and kindness and gentleness and grace and mercy and all of these things. And we're not perfect. We're not full of love. We're not full of kindness. We're not in comparison to him. But God says, if you love one another, if you love or even attempt to love as much as I love you, my love will be perfected in you. Isn't that amazing? You know, and again, like, there's sometimes that we get angry with people, we get angry with our brothers and sisters. I mean, I only have three sisters, so I mean, I had some anger issues growing up. I mean, if you ever wanted in the bathroom, I have Crohn's disease, and I had three sisters, so the bathroom is usually taken up and not by me. So, I mean, it's like, oh my goodness, right? Like, not always the best to show, but not always easy to show, but important to show. God, in his, I guess, love, because that's what we're talking about. God's love is so immense that even as we contemplate it right now, we can't. And our brains won't allow us to take in the amazingness of it, right? And I think we could take our whole life and even all of eternity probably and still never understand the fullness of his love. And I think, what great, God gave us that love without us deserving it. That's what grace is, right? And he gave that to us. Now, as believers, we have that very same love in us because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and he's our seal and he's our courage, really, in a lot of ways, and he's our strength. So I guess our challenge as believers is not only to love one another, because that's very important, as we point out, said is it twice in five verses, so it's pretty important, but now that we have that love and we know how great it is, it's our duty, it says other places in Scripture, to go out and share that love with other people. And I know for a fact that that is scary and that is terrifying and that is not for everyone. But in the Scriptures it also says, not everyone's an evangelist, but everyone still has to do the work of an evangelist. And, oh, I don't like that verse sometimes because I'm like, no, I do not like talking to people one-on-one. It is the most terrifying thing in the world to me. I would rather a group of people any day than I would one-on-one conversation. It just frightens me. I get all awkward, cross my legs, and then uncross my legs. I just fidget, and I just don't know what to do with myself. And so the very fact that we're called to do something that sometimes requires us to talk to just one person terrifies me. We had, again, on our practicum, we had an opportunity to walk around Oakville, which is very pretty, and evangelize. Just, you're supposed to go out and you're supposed to talk to one person. You go in a group of two, and I think we were a group of three because it was an odd number, but we went out and we just had to talk to one person. Well, I was with two other people and all the same problem. We're all extroverted. Like, we love to talk, as long as there's lots of group of people. But as soon as you try to get us to sit down with one person, either we're talking way too much and the other person can't say anything, or we don't talk at all. And then it just gets really awkward really quickly. So, and I mean, it was both girls, and one of them was Joanna, so, if Joanna Tate from here, so. Because, just a little secret, I was kind of in love with Joanna at that point, but it's okay. I just liked her, I had a crush on her. So anyway, it's fine. I got married to Bethany, and that's all that was, anyway. Anyway, so we were walking around, and we're trying to do this, and there's people standing here, like, at the end of their driveway, and, you know, like, we're like, well, that's pretty, like, easy. Like, we could just go up and talk to them. And then we walked towards them, and then we just walked away. Because it's like, ah, they're actually at their home, and that seems like intrusion. And anyway, so we weren't very good at it. The end of the story is we didn't talk to anyone. And I think that's the point that the teacher was trying to make, Steve Hawkins, right? He tries to make points without making a point. And so, Stephen Hawkins, I should say. But anyway, he's a nice man. Anyway, he's making a point that it's even though it's difficult to sometimes do that, you still have to do it. And I mean, the Lord is good to me in the sense that he's always good to me, but there's one opportunity that I have at work. My boss, very interested in things, and she asks me questions constantly. Our office is about the size of this table, so we work very closely together. And so we have lots of interesting conversations. So if you want to pray for that, that would be very good. She's super, super interested in the things of the Lord. My new owners of my Tim Hortons there is a, I used to work for Christian People. They went to Ferndale, lovely couple. They just sold it. And we went from, I went from a lovely Christian couple to a lovely Catholic couple. And they're lovely, and I love them, and they're very, very, very Catholic. Catholic right to the nose. They don't miss a Sunday. There's a crucifix that always looks down on me, which is kind of, okay, count that money correctly, right? Like, oh, like he's staring right at me. But, and so, yeah, there's just very Catholic family, and they're lovely, and I love working for them. And, but, again, just another opportunity that I'm able to talk about Jesus freely still at work, which I was a little bit nervous about when my last owners left, because you never know exactly what's going to happen. But we had one thing that they're like, something about the cosmos, and I was like, no, it's Jesus. And they're like, yeah, we're just not allowed to say that. I'm like, oh, I did, so it's fine. So just because they can get in trouble, but I can't really. So that's all. But anyway, all that to say is God's love is absolutely amazing. There's a song, a worship song, Amazing Love, right? If you don't know it, just look it up, Google it, Amazing Love. Great song, and it really just, I think, captures the essence of what that passage is trying to tell us, just the love, the immense love of our God. The immense, so much so, that he manifests himself for us, to show it, to express his love for us. He didn't just say, I love you, he showed us that he loves us. And I think that's very important, especially like, as, you know, we've been married for 4 years now, Bethany and I, and I mean, you can say I love you, but like a bouquet of flowers, and I love you works a little bit better. You're expressing your love as well as saying it. And I think, now, I don't usually bring flowers because I sneeze, but you know the idea. Like, you chocolate, right? Or whatever you might bring. But something to express the love as well as saying it. And I think God did that the best, right? By dying on the cross for us, raising from the dead. Oh, my grammar's a little off. But raising from the dead and living for us in heaven. And being our propitiation, our atoning sacrifice. Being our what's the word I'm trying to think of? Advocate to the Father is absolutely amazing. He's there and he's saying, no, I died for them. I love them. They can come. Just amazing. God, we thank you so very much for your love for us. We thank you so much that you came to this earth and that you died the sinner's death, even though you were perfect. We thank you that you went to that cross, that you took all the sins of everyone upon your shoulders, but that you did not stay on that cross, Jesus. You did not stay in that grave, but you rose from the dead. What an amazing, amazing story we have to share, that you triumphed over death itself, that you were living at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. May your love for us resonate on our hearts. May it stay there. Help us to share that love with other people. Help us to be people of you. May your love be perfected in us. In Jesus' name, amen.